On this day of Pentecost, the church remembers the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift to the disciples and to us of the Holy Spirit, given in the event that is recounted in the Acts reading that began our scripture readings today. And there's something that may be obvious, but I think bears repeating about that event, about that Pentecost story that we heard in Acts. It was an exciting event. The disciples noticed that something had happened. It wasn't a subtle gift of the Spirit. It was overwhelming, something they could not have missed. We are told that their experience of that event began with something that sounded like a great wind. We know what that sounds like. Tearing through their house. You notice. And then, something that appeared like tongues of fire. Tongues as of fire. The scripture says, came into the space where they were, and tongues rested on the head of each of the disciples who were gathered there. It was a noteworthy experience for the disciples. Many before me have noticed the result of that experience was more like the fire having been lit under their seats. Or in their hearts, because it spurred them to activity, to action. It was a day of vibrant activity. Think about the words inspired. It means filled with the Spirit. Or enthused, which means filled with theos, or God. The disciples were inspired and enthused by that experience of the gift of the Spirit. And thinking about the excitement and activeness of that day for the disciples presents me, I think, with an opportunity to talk a little bit about the activity of worship. The action that is a part of our worship. The Spirit that enthused and activated and inspired the disciples is a part of our worship as well. When we gather in this space, the Spirit is with us. The Spirit has a role in our prayers, the prayers that we as a group pray. One theologian has written about prayer ultimately, saying, to be in the presence of God is humanity's purpose and destiny. The whole Bible is concerned with humanity's creation for, shrinking from, desertion from, restoration to, and preparation for being in the presence of God. The whole of the Christian life is training for, anticipated, longing for, practicing, and enjoying in the present tense, the presence of God. The name we give to consciousness of being in the presence of God is prayer. Have you thought of prayer in that way? The name we give to consciousness, awareness of being in the presence of God is prayer. What happens when we pray? Christians believe God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Mother, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Father, Daughter, and Holy Spirit. You've got to hang on to those personal, relational aspects of the Trinity. Christians believe that God is this three-part Trinity, and all parts are equally God, but each plays a different role in prayer. Prayer is a conversation between the Son and the Father, between the child and the parent, in which the Holy Spirit invites the believers to participate. The Spirit lifts us, inspires us, enthuses us to become a part of God's own conversation when we come together in prayer. So to enter into prayer is to be caught up by those tongues as of fire. It is to become active, physically active, in the way that the disciples were inspired and activated by the Holy Spirit. Activity is a part of our common worship. Activity. And the Episcopal Church, even with its reputation for sedate formality, really is way ahead of the curve on this. Movement is built in to our worship experience. In fact, there are jokes, at least old jokes, about going to the Episcopal Church is like taking a class in aerobics. Not like Betsy's aerobics, but sit, stand, kneel, stand, sit, kneel, sit, stand. Liturgical aerobics. Activity is a part of our worship experience, intentionally. When I was growing up in the Episcopal Church decades ago, the guidelines for those liturgical aerobics were kneel for prayer, sit for instruction, stand for praise. Stand, singing being one of our prime forms of praise. Kneel for prayer, sit for instruction, stand for praise. In the decades that have passed since my youth in the Episcopal Church, standing as a posture for prayer, in addition to kneeling, has become more and more popular and more common. If we think a little bit on just the most basic level, what these three postures represent, kneeling, standing, and sitting. Kneeling is a posture of humility and reverence before God. Humility and reverence before the awesome and majestic presence of God. Sitting is a posture for being given instruction, for receiving words or teaching. Sitting, it occurs to me, can also be a wonderful posture for individual reflection. But most of what we do on Sundays is corporate, common, shared. And we sit as a group to receive, relatively passive posture to receive instruction. Standing, of course, is a posture of praise, of enthusiasm, of encouragement, a posture that is open and active, interactive with the presence of one another and with God. I want to focus just a little bit further this morning in particular on the prayers of the people and the posture that we assume for the prayers of the people. Starting today, the intercessor, Donna, this morning, is going to invite you, as you are able, to stand or kneel for the prayers of the people, rather than direct you, as has been the past practice, to be seated. Invited, as you are able, to stand or to kneel for these prayers that are ours. I've recently been exploring some of the works of Samuel Wells. I've enjoyed discovering some of his writings, and there's a lot out there. He has written a whole book on intercessory prayer, which I have only just glanced at, but I want to share with you a little bit about what he says about intercessory prayer, those common prayers of intercession that we offer as the prayers of the people on Sunday. Speaking of intercessory prayer, he says, to offer intercessory prayer is our duty and our joy. It is a joy to offer our common intercessory prayers. It is a joy when it is an opportunity to engage in passionate and wholehearted dialogue with God, the maker, redeemer, and sustainer of all things. When one is invited to commune in the heart of God and share one's deepest fears, hopes, and realities. It is a joy when one can meet the intersection between the profoundest longings of one's soul, the most direct import of the scripture, and the most desperate needs of the world. It is a joy when one can share this most intimate of encounters with a congregation one has joined for a season, for a morning, or for life. It is a joy when all one's disparate intimations of immortality, how's that for a mouthful? Disparate intimations of immortality. Half-remembered wisdom, enchanting turns of phrase, abiding sense of outrage, restless pangs of despair, and reassuring rhythms of comfort can be brought together into one brief, tender, but comprehensive address to God. It is a joy to pray, a joy to participate in common intercessory prayer. And may we be filled with that joy by the Holy Spirit, so much so that we can't sit still. Filled with joy so much that we want to stand up and look around and share and reach out with our hearts to God at that time of prayer. Moving from Wells' sublime description of the joy of prayer, I want to give you a much more prosaic example as well. What do you do when you're at a sports event and your kids' team or your favorite team really needs your support? It's an exciting moment. They're on the brink. The Cubs and Cardinals are tied at 4 in the bottom of the 6th and the bases are loaded. There's a pinch hitter at the plate. The whole place stands in enthusiasm, in solidarity, in encouragement. Corporate prayer is a team sport. We are on the same team, and we offer our prayers and our support and encouragement for one another, hopefully with at least a touch of the enthusiasm that we show for our favorite sports team. Stand in enthusiastic support for one another as we offer our prayers. Ultimately, when we think about prayer and when we think about posture, the question is, what posture for you is the most engaging and the most active? What engages you in those prayers? What helps you enter into the presence of God with the Spirit's help? it may not be the same for all of us, and it may not be the same for each of us every week. But remember that prayer is never a passive endeavor. Neither, when we gather here on Sundays, is it a private, individual prayer to be enclosed in a personal cocoon. The prayers that we say on Sunday are the prayers of the people, not the prayers of the person. It's a corporate activity, something in which we should be active and aware of those around us. Feel free to assume whatever posture works best for you, to be engaged and active in those prayers. You may continue to sit if you wish. There may be days when your soul needs to kneel, when what you bring to the assembly are prayers offered on your knees. But I do encourage you to try standing for the prayers of the people. It may feel a little bit awkward at first, but I promise that will pass. And I encourage you also to give voice, to speak your prayers, in addition to those that are offered formally. Pretty much every Sunday, there should be a time and space for each of us to give voice to those prayers that we bring to the common assembly on any given week. Offer those prayers. May our worship together, be enthused, inspired, lifted up by the presence of the Holy Spirit among us. Amen. Amen.